Welcome to the Fetish Show.
The Fetish Show explores kinky sex, adult entertainment, relationships, and BDSM lifestyle. Your hosts are fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix and fetish model, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk and Zoe.
I think you know what's gonna happen tonight.
Welcome to the Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper, and I am joined, as always, by the iconoclastic Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
I'm doing great. What the fuck does that mean?
means you march to your own drummer.
Yeah, I do.
You're a rebel without a clue.
Without a clue. God damn it. I knew it would be something kind of cool and kind of not at the same time.
Of course. Why don't you tell us what's coming up today on the show?
I was thinking about that. All right, changes, changes. That's what's coming up. And writers on the website. We've got some info about that.
We got a lot of them.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Grey.
Of course.
Porn and lots of porn.
Of course.
A really cool, really, really, really cool Will of Fetish.
Really cool.
And a Whipping Post segment.
That we've been promising since the beginning of time.
And an interview with Damian Matrix.
Yes, very cool.
So we got a good show for you.
That's good stuff. Let's talk about changes.
Let's talk about it.
We've had some changes here. Pardon the sawdust. We are in a brand new recording studio.
Yes, we are. We have a control room. We, you and I, being we, are in the recording area.
Right.
So we have our own recording room. Lots of cool microphones in here.
That is correct.
We have this nifty, handy dandy mirror, whatever.
so we can look at ourselves.
So we can see into the control room. The people in the control room can see in here to us.
Right.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like a real studio now.
Summers is to thank for cutting the hole in the wall.
Yes.
and
also Kilt Guy, I think, was involved a little bit of that.
No.
Wasn't he? Or
no.
Not?
Randy.
Oh, Randy, right.
Randy.
That is correct.
So, yeah. Changes.
That's good stuff.
Lots
yeah,
of changes.
We've got carpet on the wall.
We have sound improvement gear on the wall.
Yes.
We have new microphones.
Yes, we do have new microphones.
Yes, we do. We have lots of stuff.
A lot of investment of money and time.
Yes.
In what you're listening to right now. I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that we've been hard at work getting us up to where we are right now.
Yes, we have been.
And thanks to everyone who helped us in
yes,
our group there.
Our staff.
Not only do we have Summer helping us out tonight, we also have Vanilla Wilson.
Yes, we do.
On the board. Mixing it up.
In the control
breaking
room.
It down to the break of dawn.
All right.
Let's talk about skin, too.
Let's do.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. What's up with that?
Well, we got featured on the website of Skin 2.
Yeah.
They did a whole article on us. They put our pictures on there. They put some links to us. They had a really nice write-up. We sure do appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
Tim talked about that, and he said he was going to do it, and there it is. He paid us off. How about that?
Yes, he did.
Very nice.
Well, we paid him off on the other.
Yes, well, we scratched each other back. It was nice.
Yes, he's
but
awesome.
It's a big deal to me. I mean, Skin 2's been a big deal to me for a long time, so it's really exciting to be on the Skin 2 website. So thank you, all of you at Skin 2.
Yes, thank you.
And by the way, you should go check that out.
Yes, you should.
We're up there, and you can get a link on the post for this episode. But if you just want to go check them out, they're at skin2.com.
Yes, they are.
Let's talk about our writers.
Go ahead.
All right. We have three people who are like regular writers for the Fetish Show website. So if you're listening to the Fetish Show, this version, the radio show, maybe you're subscribing on iTunes or Stitcher, for example, then maybe you don't know that we have a lot of really good information that's coming through on the website. And I want to make sure that you know who our regular writers are and give them a brief introduction. One of our regular writers who we're talking to her quite a bit right now is Jasmine St. John.
Mm-hmm.
She is an alternative sex therapist. She got in touch with us she was listening to our episodes, had some things that she wanted to say in her own regard, but now she's also kind of like in her latest a post, what she did is she picked up on something that we were talking about, which was kinky sex therapists, people who were friendly to the kink lifestyle, mm-hmm. which is something that we talked about in relation to something that Dr. Ruth said. And so she took that and ran with it. And as it turns out, not only is she a kink sex therapist, but there's a whole group that she talks about on this web post.
Yes, and she see her article on our website.
Yeah, you should go see that. She also wrote a review of a movie that came out that was very, very interesting. It's Super Masochist Bob Flanagan.
Cool.
Which is awesome stuff. Also, someone who's written several articles for us is Arian Adora, who is in the Gorian? I don't know.
Gorian,
I'll probably say that wrong. But anyway, from the books of Gore. Mm-hmm. She is a submissive who is very much into that lifestyle and talks about basically about that Gorian lifestyle and also about just BDSM, dominant submission. She's written several articles for us. Matter of fact, I have another one that I need to post here that's sitting in the wings. It's waiting.
All right.
And our guest on our last episode, Apple Angel, has written an article about posing for the first time.
Yeah.
And has another one in the works.
And our kilt guy, he's got another article coming out.
Right. Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. We got a hold of that tonight, actually.
So, oh, really? Okay.
So it'll be coming up actually about the Biting the Apple.
Oh, I was about to ask. Is it about Biting the Apple?
Yes, it is.
What a great transition.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Biting the Apple 2012.
Let's talk about it.
I did a photo with Apple Angel and her group, which is TNT Burlesque, and we put that photo up in the show, and it sold. It sold within 1 hour.
That was an amazing photo.
Thank you.
I think you have some more from that set. So if anybody's interested, maybe they can get in touch with you and see about some other photos from that set.
Yeah, I took about 300 photos there. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to be running it probably on my own site. And also, I could actually run a few on this post.
Yeah, let's do that. Definitely.
So people know what the heck I'm talking about. But anyway, that was a great deal all the way around, I think. So Biting the Apple 2012.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of other stuff that has happened over the period of time that we've been working on the studio, but I think we're going to save that till next time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to wrap up this particular segment and get right on into the Fetish Show news.
Let's do it. Hi, I'm Princess Zoe. You are listening to your dominant source for fetish news, kinky events, interviews, advice, and reviews. This is The Fetish Show.
First up on The Fetish Show news today, we had to talk about it. Everyone else is, so we had to too. 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, everyone is talking about it. Let's talk about it too.
Well, all three books in E.L. James's erotic 50 Shades of Grey trilogy are in USA Today's top 10, with 50 Shades of Grey, the first book, leading the pack at number 5.
Wow.
In the series, college student Anastasia Steele finds herself in a relationship with Christian Grey, a handsome millionaire with a penchant for bondage. Deadline broke the news this week that Universal Pictures and Focus Features have acquired screen rights. Quote, we went with Focus because they have a great background in handling difficult material. Someone told Entertainment Weekly also because the studio gave the author the approval she wanted, including script and casting.
Wow.
So who do you think should star in the movie?
Me.
That's the hot question right now, I guess.
I should star in the movie.
If you're into that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is over the period of time between this episode and the last episode is when 50 Shades of Grey absolutely went monkey balls crazy. And everyone in the universe is talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying attention.
And And we're talking about two, so.
I think, personally, I think we need to have a 50 Shades of Grey episode of The Fetish Show.
No, come on.
All day, all night, in stereo.
Right, okay. How about new? I think it's covered. I think we've got that covered.
Well, I have some thoughts about 50 Shades of Grey. I'm not going to share them right now, but the some of the people that are being bandied about for the movie, which is coming up, is the Twilight couple.
The what?
The Twilight couple. The couple that was from Twilight, whose names I'm not going to be able to count. Kristen Stewart and who's the dude's name? Robert Pattinson?
Not know.
Someone mouthed that to me.
I did not know.
There you go. Those two are being talked about, but they're also like Michael Fassbender and a bunch of other jabronis are talking about it. Who was it that was? Who's the girl who played the psychic on television? Jennifer Love Hewitt wants the role apparently really bad. She seems to be too old for the role, though.
Because
it's supposed
to
be a college age student. The girl is. The guy is supposed to be like 28. So pick your favorite characters.
Okay.
All right. Well, next up, we're going to talk about the Third District Circuit Court of Appeals rules in favor of the adult industry.
What?
Today was a very interesting day in the adult industry's fight against the constitutionality of 18 U.S.C. 2257. The Third U.S. Court of Appeals reversed the lower court's earlier decision to grant a motion filed by the government to dismiss the constitutional challenges of the latest amendments to 18 U.S.C. 2257. While today's decision is certainly not even close to winning the war, today's decision gives the adult industry the chance to be heard and another day to fight. So, for those of you who are unaware of what 2257 is, it's a completely onerous ruling that forces porn sites to keep track of not just the people who are on their site, all of their information. It's record keeping thing, but it's also to keep track of all of their aliases and like have their blood type and their, you know, the name of their firstborn and every other dumb thing. It's basically just meant, it doesn't serve any purpose whatsoever except to grind the porn industry. It's much like the Sarbanes-Oxley ruling by Congress that is meant to grind businesses. It really doesn't serve any purpose except to create a big bunch of paperwork so that Congress can pretend like they're doing something important. So in any case, this court ruling, while it was not a decision in favor of the porn industry, it does suggest that they may actually be able to turn this ruling over as being unconstitutional because they're basically picking on the porn industry, essentially.
Well, I have my own opinion about that, but I will keep that to myself at this
time. Well, go
time.
Ahead. Let's have it.
No, I'll keep that to myself at this time.
All right.
I have a conflicting opinionation.
All right. Well, that's what this is for.
Move on.
All right.
Move
along, sir. Speaking of porn, porn consumption in the Bible Belt has been exposed.
Oh, my God.
The places where 2012 Republican presidential hopefuls are most likely to be railing against porn are also places where an abundance of voters are likely to be consuming it, according to an article written by Alex Henderson, who writes on the adult entertainment issues regularly. Henderson, who wrote The Bible Belt's Love Affair with Gay and Straight Porn for Alternet.org and is a regular contributor to XBiz, says that the Republican politicians will continue to make the false claim that porn is strictly for, quote, blue state liberals. Quote, Texas is the second largest state by population, and in terms of our overall traffic, that's where it ranks as well. Number two, right behind California, Boyer said. Interestingly, if you adjust the query to cover only mobile traffic, Texas surpasses California very slightly. They actually swap back and forth in the number one spot, depending on the time frame selected, and moves into the number one slot.
I would just like to say, in the state of Texas, you can't have more than 7 insertables on your person at any one time.
That's your favorite. That's your favorite fun fact of Texas. Roundtree, meanwhile, said that red states have some of his most loyal and enthusiastic BDSM customers. Quote, retention of porn membership in Wasteland is significantly longer for red states, and the amount of content viewed and the length of sessions in the member area is also significantly longer for red state members, he said.
Fucking kinky Texans.
Yep. Texas Roundtree added, has double retention from any other state.
You know I'm a Texan.
I do know that. So that should be no surprise to anyone.
Yeah.
And here is my favorite story of the day.
Let's have it.
A Thai natural health practitioner claims she can boost bra sizes by breast slapping.
Wow.
The traditional therapy is said to enlarge the breasts with no surgery whatsoever, just a good deal of kneading, massaging, and pummeling of the area.
It's true. I believe that you can even produce milk this way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I would pronounce her name, but she's from Thailand, and it's ridiculous. She learned the unlikely technique from her grandmother, who intervened after seeing the flat-breasted teenager attempting to boost her assets with creams. The 44-year-old, better known as another name, which I can't pronounce, made a career out of the wisdom and has also cornered the Bangkok market on buttock slapping to firm the rear and face slapping to tone the visage.
Wow.
Quote, ancient people didn't share it much because back then people didn't care about breast size, she said. But now it seems her skills are much in demand. The slapping works, she says, by shifting fat from one area to another, kneading excess fat towards the breasts. Doubters of the treatment's efficacy may be assuaged by the Thai government's endorsement of her trade. According to The Independent, a study by the Thai Health Ministry found vigorous massage left volunteers' breasts measurably bigger. The ministry even sponsored a program that saw women learning to slap their own breasts to enhance their size as an alternative to surgery.
I think that can also be dangerous and work against you. Any kind of hard knocks to your boobs can cause actually cancerous buildup. You don't necessarily want to cause too much trauma to your titties. So
well,
kind of be careful with
them. You may be worried about that. What I'm worried about is how I can open my own business doing this.
I don't know, Doc.
I see cash here.
I don't know.
You know, they say if you do what you love,
titties. That's what
they
I
say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
You just want to slap some titties
around.
I'm
just saying. I do love that. So
slapping titties
maybe
around.
There's a career involved.
All right. So all you girls who want Dirk Hooper to slap your boobs.
We just need to bring that over here. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, I will not be first in line for that. Maybe someone else. Not I. I don't want my boobies smacked. I might smack some ass.
See? Or but, face slapping?
Ooh, that's
that's straight up femdom right there is face slapping. Who knew that it was so good?
I don't know.
It was so good for your visage.
Just fucking smack that face so hard it just moves that fat around to the back of your head.
There you go. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Fetish Show News. Up next, we've got a super cool Wheel of Fetish.
Contact The Fetish Show now by email at info@thefetishshow.com. Through our toll-free voicemail hotline, 1-888-506-0221. Or on the comments for this episode on our website at thefetishshow.com. We want to hear from you. And now it's time for
Wheel of Fetish! Hi, this is Princess Zoe, and I'm your hostess for the Wheel of Fetish this evening. And we're going to spin the wheel there, Vanilla Wilson, and see what it lands on. Can we get a wheel spin, please?
I got a good feeling about this one.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
It's strap-on play. Oh, no, 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 not strap-on play. Oh, okay. Oh, it landed on robot fetishism.
Yes! Wow. Score!
And what is robot fetishism?
Robot fetish.
Is that what you were hoping for?
We have finally arrived.
Robot fetishism.
Yes.
This is a fantasy that involves the thought of having sex with a robot, having sex dressed as robots, or having sex with a person who is transformed into a robot. I'm sure that there are many geeks out there who fantasize about having sex with a perfect android woman, but this is a fetish that can also involve fantasizing about having sex with non-humanoid robot. I guess someone who really loves technology or science fiction could be into this. Robot fetishism, also ASFR, or technosexuality. It's technosexuality. I can't say that very
technosexuality.
Well. Yes.
Let's go with that one.
All right. Is a fetishistic attraction to humanoid robots. Also to people acting like robots or people dressed in robot costumes. A less common fantasy involves transformation into a robot. In these ways, it is similar to say that word there for me there, Dirk.
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
What is that word there?
Wow, that is brutal. Agalmatophilia. Yeah. Agalmatophilia.
Okay, that, which involves attraction to or transformation into statues or mannequins.
Hmm.
Robot fetishism can be viewed from an erotic...
anthropomorphism.
Thank you. When transformation or role-playing is involved, it can be thought of as a form of erotic objectification.
Yes, very good.
Yes.
So ASFR stands for, apparently, the alt-sex fetish robots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a Usenet news group.
All right.
Alt-sex fetish robots.
By its enthusiasts, robot fetishism is more commonly referred to by the initials ASFR. The initials stems from the now defunct Usenet news groups, as you just said, alt-fetish robots, as you just said. Many devotees from the fetish refer to themselves as technosexual. I like that.
Technosexual.
Technosexual. I wonder if they have like their own music and stuff.
I'm sure they do.
As a ASFRians, sorry about that, guys. ASFR can be divided into two distinct but somewhat overlapping types of fantasies. The first of these is simply a desire to have ready-made android partner. That would not be a bad idea, have a ready-made android partner. What do you think about that, Dirk?
Yes, they've had many movies on that, which I'm about to talk about here in a minute.
The partner can be desired for sex, companionship, or any combination of the two. The main distinguishing feature of the fantasy is that the android is completely artificial construct, often manufactured solely to fulfill the wishes of its owner. Wow. This type of fantasy or situation is referred to as built. I'm sorry. I was thinking something else. Built. Anyway. The second type of fantasy prevalent to ASFR is referred to as transformation. This involves a human which has been either willingly or unwillingly turned into an android. Unwillingly. An unwillingly transformation human into a robot. Wow. Where do you get one of those? Fuck me, damn. People could be either oneself or one's partner or both. Wow. I'm going to be my own partner. It's usually the process
of... I've been that before.
...transformation through whatever means is achieved. And the focus is of fantasy. Okay. So, there you have it.
Robot fetishism.
Yes. Yes. There's a lot more to say. What do you have to say, Dirk?
Well, look, this is right in my wheelhouse here. This is a crossroads where fetish hits science fiction.
Yeah, you see? It's in your wheelhouse.
So that's right at the crossroads.
It's right up your will.
Yes.
House.
So I know all about this. What I think about when you talk about sex with robots, and I don't know if this necessarily applies, but Blade Runner comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were robots in that thing.
And they were having sex.
They were having a lot of sex. Matter of fact, the two of the main characters in that are like specifically designed to have sex.
Wow. That's when they found that little...
So this is...
That little fish scale, remember? That little snake scale. Remember?
Yes, artificial snake scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So anyway, that goes back to back when I was very young and I saw Blade Runner.
That's
so good. That's if that's robot fetishism, then I'm into it.
Yeah. Well.
And it's not just that. I mean, there's, you know, a matter of fact, in the new Alien movie, which is called Prometheus, they have Michael Fassbender, for those ladies out there who might be into sexy robots. Hmm. He's going to be playing a robot in that film.
Yeah.
So it's a recurring theme. For sure. It's, I mean, basically...
It's a big fetish. It's
all
a
of,
widespread fetish.
Right. All of the latest version of Battlestar Galactica was based around basically creating sex partners and that sort of stuff and what it means to be human and that sort of thing.
Wow.
So it's definitely a recurring deal, and there's a lot of sexual elements to that, and I dig it.
Well, also, I guess we could say the aspects of this fetish... that are most appreciated by the members of the ASFR community are greatly varied. For some, things like robots' appearance, that would be one for me, the appearance. Motion, sound are important for arousal. So I guess your robot's sound, it's important. For others, these are not in completely lifelike android. That appears to be human is desired. So I want my android to be lifelike and make good noises.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, back during, there's a movie called Metropolis, which is from, like, the 1920s or something, where the robot girl actually looks like a robot. That's not sexy to me. I don't know. I mean, that's, I guess some people are talking about actually having sex with robots.
But yeah, I think that's, that's what we're talking about.
I know. I mean, there's a big difference between having a sex with a robot that looks like a human and having a robot that looks like a robot.
Yeah, like all metal and shit.
Right.
I want to see a robot dick.
I don't quite
actually
get that, but I mean, to each their own.
I think as much as we want to know about Obama's dick, I think we need to know about these robot dicks.
And what is the latest on Obama's dick, by the way?
I don't know. We still don't know how big it is.
Let's go to a reporter in the field.
Yes, let's do.
Let's go to Vanilla Wilson.
Vanilla? Any word on Obama's penis?
Could we get an update on Obama's penis, please?
I know not of Obama's penis.
So you haven't been doing your research? Or I mean, so you're outside of the White House right now.
I really care not about Obama's penis.
But you are outside of the White House right now trying to get a glimpse.
But you are trying to get the interview, right, with Obama's penis?
No.
He failed. That's just a fail. He's not even playing along. You're fired.
But you are outside of the White House. I mean, there's a possibility that the president could be actually coming out to talk to you at any time.
I'm outside of a house. I don't know if it's the White House.
It's a house that's white.
Yes. There is a fence. There are people.
It's entirely possible we may need another reporter on this this item.
Yeah, I think we better scratch
it. If you want to get the very, very important interview with Obama's penis, please call us right now at 1-888-506-0221, and we will hook you up with that interview.
And that concludes this segment of Will of Fetish.
The Fetish Show, Whipping Post.
You laugh every time they play that.
I fucking love that.
Okay, so tonight on the Whipping Post, we're going to have a discussion about your fetish life versus your vanilla life.
Let's fucking discuss this shit.
Let's do
right
it. Let's,
now.
Let's start out because I think that you're in a unique situation because you have a, you know, normal life. You've got a, you know, a family and you carry on with your stuff. But then you also have to transition into being a professional dominatrix.
That's right.
So, and, you know, you've said that there are some challenges with that.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that for just a minute.
Well, my personal challenge is my transition up. My transition down is usually...
And by up, you mean into being
right,
a professional dominatrix.
Yes, I'll explain in a minute. My transition down is usually easier for me. And what I mean by transition up is my transition up into my persona and into my headspace and my state of Princess Zoe. And some days it doesn't happen. And on those days, I'm just, you know, I don't see anybody, and I think that that's fair for them because I need to be where I need to be in my head. So my transition up is usually harder for me because I have a lot to think about. It takes me a couple hours to get into to my persona, get into my gear, as a matter of fact, get into my clothing and all that stuff, get corseted up, get booted up and all that stuff, get my boots on. But, yeah. So my transition down is usually a lot easier. Transition down, pretty, you know, fairly quickly, and I'm usually a lot calmer and stuff after a good session of ass beating.
When you went and talked before the Entrepreneurs Organization, I think that a lot of people assumed that the persona that you have in sessions and the persona that you have on the website, the way that you talk on there and the way you present yourself on there, is the way that you were when you woke up in the morning.
Probably so. I get that.
And that's the way that you are during the entire day. When you're at the Department of Motor Vehicles, you're Princess Zoe, full on, with the whip and the whole thing.
I have to be.
Right.
Department of Motor Vehicles.
Maybe that's a bad example. when you're at the movie theater or something, they figure that you're full on, you know, at the candy counter or something. You're, you know, whipping people behind the counter and telling them to lick your boots and that sort of thing.
Princess Zoe is a big part of my personality. So it is a big part of who I am. She is a caveat to me, though. It's not a 24/7 thing. So you can't be on all the time. And sometimes you got to have some downtime, some down space. And so, it's not a 24/7 thing. As you know yourself,
right?
As a dominant, you know that you can't always be, you know, on.
Right. I'm in kind of a unique situation because I have basically my name is out in the public. I'm out.
That's right. That's right.
I have a way of kind of distinguishing between my normal self or whatever and the dominant or my fetish self. And, but, you know, my name is Dirk Hooper and
your name is Dirk Hooper
and it rolls into,
which means he who makes hoops.
Well, my full name means kind and lovable ruler of the people who makes hoops.
Zoe means life. So,
anyway, I'm in a kind of a unique situation because a lot of people, deal with the transition for them in a lot of ways is maybe adopting an entire persona.
Mm-hmm.
They have a scene name and then they have their regular name that they use at school or at work or whatever. My name is the same.
That's right.
However, with that said, there is definitely a transition between who I am, you know, in my day-to-day life and who I am when I am in a scene.
Well, you have a normal job, you know, that
right.
you go to. You can't just... you know, be the ruler of hoop making.
No, absolutely not.
You might get fired.
Yeah, no one's going to put up with that. And no one should have to put up with that,
right.
you know, honestly.
That's right.
So, you know, definitely within my own personal relationship, it's very, very different than I am at work or I am, you know, in almost any other situation. And I think a lot of people deal with that sort of thing where they have to figure out kind of where the boundaries are.
And that's true. And I think a big part of that, too, is your profiles, you know, that we have on FetLife and different things like that. I think that that's something that we should talk about there. These are an extension of our personalities. However, you know, we need to understand that you should have two different ones. You shouldn't have grandma on, you know,
on your BDSM profile.
Spank me, right. Baby, you know, profile.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, anyway, so I suggest student profiles. How about yourself?
That's one of the reasons why I hate Facebook, is because they assume that whoever you are, they want you to use your name. And then
that's bullshit.
And then it has to be your real name, supposedly. Of course, there's a lot of people who are not using their real name. But in any case, they expect you to be this person, whoever it is, in all arenas. So if you're in school or you're at work, you're supposed to be this person. If you're playing around after hours, if you're in the BDSM world, you're still expected to be that person on Facebook. It's ridiculous.
It's bullshit.
To be honest with you. So yeah. I think that when you're talking about social networking and that sort of thing, that I think it's essential to have, you know, different profiles.
You need to. It's if you have a dating one, it needs to be different. If you're looking at online dating, if you have BDSM profile, and just your normal, you know, casual, your friends from high school or whatever. And even at that, I suggest on these profiles, be careful what information you still put out there, because Facebook is the devil, and it's a conglomerate of, like, you know, watch out for Facebook. It's going to take over the world. You know, if you get locked out of that, it's like, we need to know who your friends are in this photo, we won't let you back on here.
It's so absurd.
It is crazy.
It's absolutely ridiculous. There are people, however, who do live it 24/7, who wake up in the morning, they live their roles. They have they have one partner, or maybe they have they're in a poly relationship, they're in a family, and they absolutely live it 24 hours a day.
They still need two profiles.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. I tend to think that I have this philosophy that you shouldn't require people to be in on your kink.
That's
you
right.
Shouldn't require
that's right.
The
oh,
public
don't get me started on that
to
one.
Play along. So if you're in the cafe, maybe you shouldn't have your submissive, you know, kneeling next to the table and feeding him.
That's
you
right.
know. I mean, it's just, unless you're in a kinky cafe, maybe you should, you know, keep that for your own private area.
And I'll throw this one out there, too. You've heard me say this before. If your submissive can't speak, leave them the motherfucker at home because
right.
I'm not in your game.
Right.
Although I respect it and everything, I'm going to fuck your shit up because I'm going to be talking to everybody around me. So.
Some people can't disengage. Yeah. Some people do live at 24/7 and they do expect everyone, especially if you know what's going on in the lifestyle, they expect you also to live their situation 24/7 as well, and you can't expect that.
I've ran into that before. Well, you're a professional dominatrix, then you should. Well, I'm still not in your
right.
game, there, buddy. I'm just here doing my job. You
exactly.
know? So no.
And right, yeah. If your submissive can't speak to people, then maybe your submissive should stay home.
That's because I will fuck up on that because I'm talking to everybody.
Right.
So.
Yeah, don't expect everyone to be in on your
thing. So don't
thing.
Be smacking on me because, hey, you should have known not to know. No, no, you should know to leave them at home because Prince is always going to be talking to everybody.
I want to talk a little bit about that mental transition, though. I think it's really important.
All right, tell us.
Well, I mean, what do you do? I mean, what is it that you do to get in that headspace?
When I transition up?
Yeah.
Well, to me, I have to have a little bit of time alone.
Yeah.
And a big part of it is when I'm getting dressed. It's a big transition for me to get dressed because my costume is a big thing for me. My boots, my corset. I start to think about the session that I'm going to have. Mm-hmm. I put a lot into that, and that helps me transition up a lot is my the thinking about my session. I do a lot of creativity in mm-hmm. that. I think about the person that I'm going to be spending time with.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps a lot with that, too. So that time alone, a good 30 to 45 minutes by myself, then I'm getting dressed and thinking about, you know, what I'm going to say, you know, what I'm going to expect, and the other person's role in this. So what about yourself?
That's interesting because I think a lot of my transition has a lot to do with that, too. And it has to do with the trappings of ritual. It might not have to do with physical things, but it also might have to do with physical things.
Mm-hmm.
Collars, cuffs, you know, someone being told to get naked in front of you.
Right.
When I begin to go through those rituals or the trappings of BDSM, as you begin to have the other as a dominant, when you begin to have the other person react to you in a certain way, I make that transition right there during that time.
Yeah.
Also, something that you mentioned, which is taking some time for yourself and thinking about what's coming up. Sometimes that can take place earlier in the day, or maybe a day or two beforehand. So you're actually transitioning over 2 or 3 days where you're getting into that headspace.
That's true too.
And a lot of it has to do with fantasy and thinking about what's coming up and what the reaction's going to be. There's a huge mental aspect that I think a lot of people who are not into this know and understand that people who do this put into their scenes. It's not just like you snap your fingers.
There's so much to it, and you can actually stay into that space for a week.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
And that means that when I'm at the DMV or Best Buy or whatever, not that I'm acting upon it, but it's in my mind, and it definitely comes through in my speech and my persona and my interactions with people, but to a toned down degree. But still, I'm there.
That headspace can help you out in other things too.
Sure.
Whether you're dominant or submissive.
Sure.
Being a submissive in many cases means that you're somewhat fearless. Being fearless, obviously, it has a lot of advantages to it. If you've been naked in front of, you know, 40 or 50 people or something, and, you know, you've been flogged and that sort of thing, you know, maybe getting up in front of 40 or 50 people and accepting an award or talking for 10 minutes is not that big a deal. You've been through something that's, you know, much more traumatic and much more fun. And you think, well, you know, after I've done this thing, you know, standing up in front of people and accepting this award or something is no big deal.
And kind of removing yourself, because when you're kind of removed and looking at yourself from out here in, it's kind of helpful too, to go through these different things. If you got to get up and accept an award, as you said, you know, you kind of remove yourself, and it's easier, in my opinion.
Right. I agree.
So,
well, I think the concept of transition, because a lot of people, I mean, people who are reading 50 Shades of Grey for the first time, maybe don't understand that this sort of stuff doesn't just happen out of the blue. I mean, it takes a lot of planning, and there's a huge mental aspect. I would be interested to hear what other people do.
I would too.
To transition.
That's
what
good.
It is.
We should ask that question. We should ask our listeners. You guys, let us know. Send us something. Let us know what you do.
Yeah.
What's your deal?
Send us if you want to get us by email, then you can contact us at info@thefetishshow.com, or you can leave a comment on this episode, or just grab us.
Yeah. Put something in the subject line. Let us know what it's about.
Yeah. And we want to hear it. I mean, if it's interesting, we'll either read it on the air, or maybe we'll write an article on it or something. Because I think
that
it's the sort of thing that's maybe, you know, a lot of people don't talk about very often.
Let's get one of our writers to write something on that.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah,
good idea.
All right. Well, that's it for The Whipping Post.
The Fetish Show feature presentation.
All right. Today we have Damian Matrix, who is Mr. US of AMI. Welcome to The Fetish Show.
Welcome, Damian. How are you?
Well, thanks. I'm pretty fucking fantabulous.
All right. Well, I hear you're a title holder. Well, of course, Mr. US of AMI. Tell us what that stands for. What is that about?
Well, basically what it is, it's a national drag king pageant that we have every year in March in Oklahoma City. We have people that compete all across the country, and they run for prelims, and then they compete for a national title. Excuse and the MI stands for Male Illusionist, not Michigan.
So you're a drag king.
Yes, I do male illusion.
So male illusion means you are a female, but you illusion to be a male.
Right. So basically I was born as a crotch, but I look like a boy.
Sort of like a buck angel.
Yeah, kind of.
So you say that this is a regional title?
It's a national title. So basically a regional title would consist of, like, if you had a Midwest title.
Okay.
That would be all of the Midwest. Well, we have state prelims, regional prelims, and
we have
a national pageant.
Where was the Nationals?
It actually was at Ingalls.
No kidding. Here in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
Amazing. You said earlier something about the fact that this is like the region for pageants or something, like the middle of the United States.
Oh, yeah. Like Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas. The Midwest is like pageant central.
Why?
Why not?
That's fine. It's just I don't think that people would suspect that necessarily.
Not in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I guess you really wouldn't think it is, but I mean, we have tons of pageants. Like, we have Real Boy pageants, we have Drag Queen pageants, Drag King pageants. We have pageants for pretty much anything you can think of. I mean, if you look at, like, even like that little show, Toddlers and Tiaras, right?
Right, you're right.
Like, the biggest pageants they have there come from, like, Texas and Oklahoma.
Amazing. Damien actually performed at the Bug Angel event. He was one of our performers.
Right.
That was cool.
It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun there.
Yeah, it's cool.
And Buck's coming back, so it's cool. Maybe we'll do something again.
Well, just like always, we mentioned Buck Angel in this episode again.
What's happened a lot?
Hey, Buck, how's it going, buddy? We mention him every episode.
Yes. Him and Master Walker are our favorites.
That's true. Absolutely.
Well, Damien also does some other things. Does drag king shows and wire sculptures. Tell us about your wire sculpturing.
I make dead trees out of wires. And, like, say one that's about 12 inches tall, there's about, I don't know, 550 feet of wire in it, which is 500 or 50 feet short of a BPO.
Why do you do that?
I really like art. I like self-expression, do a lot of performance art, and I like dead things because I think they have a lot more intricate characteristics about them, where trees that have leaves on them are kind of...
alive.
They all look the same, where a dead tree has a lot of character.
So. You say you do performance art. I mean, is there... wire sculpture is not performance art necessarily, is it? Or is it?
I mean, it's not necessarily performance art, but I take a lot of, like, the art that I do and make that into costuming.
Oh, interesting.
Or,
okay.
Like, props or, you know, different concepts that I use for different shows.
Right.
Because I already kind of look a lot like a boy, so there's not a lot I have to do to look like a guy. So I put a lot of my extra work into costuming, concept, and make sure that, you know, things make sense. It's not just like, I'm going to throw some rhinestones on and dance around stage. One, I can't dance, so I'm not going to do that.
So what did you have to do to actually to win this title? What was some of the categories or some of the things you had to do?
Well, what our pageant consists of is we have a personal interview, which I actually won personal interview. We have presentation, which is not scored. We also have creative evening wear, which is like you take a suit or whatever you think of as pants and a jacket and make it you.
I see.
You put stones on it, you cut the arms off of it, whatever you want to do. And then we also have a talent portion, which I did like a Dr. Domino talent as a mental patient and had my friends dress up like a dog and a fairy and had some walls that moved and electric chair.
Wow, that's really cool.
So what got you into this?
I started doing drag when I was 17.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it was because I was having, like, a gender crisis.
Right.
To me, it was very, like, gender was very black and white. And through drag, I found, like, a gray area where I don't really identify as anything. It's, you know, I pee wherever the line's shorter.
We should all do that.
I do that.
But the men's bathroom is really gross, so the men's bathroom is more ideal, but then you get more looks and stuff.
It's true.
But that's why I initially started doing it, and then I really like horror, and I like to take like a make a show into like a little 5-minute short film sort of.
Right.
So
you actually do pageant consulting then, right? Or
yeah,
or
we do a lot of pageant coaching, like
coaching. Okay. Coaching.
Yeah, like I coach drag queens, drag kings, male entertainers, female entertainers.
What kind of things do you coach them on?
I teach them how to do interview. Like, because there's certain aspects you have to, certain things you have to do. Like, you have to shake everybody's hands, and
right,
you have to stand by your chair until they tell you to sit down, and like those little things that really make or break your package. We help them with, I mean, I do mixing, mix music. I make costumes, make
so
props.
Do you charge for this? Is something?
It depends.
I see.
Like, it depends who it is. I mean, if it's somebody I know really well, like a lot of our Rec Room Kids and stuff, which is a local club that we have over here. It's underage, so, you know, that you'd be like taking their allowance money, so that's kind of rude. So I don't really, like adults and stuff. I mean, people who are like already set up in pageants, yeah.
So if we want to find you to get in touch with you for this, most anything, we can find you on Facebook. Is that correct?
Yeah, Facebook is probably the easiest way.
And we got your Facebook information, I guess. Tell us what your Facebook information is.
It's facebook.com/ Damien Matrix, and it's D-A-M-I-A-N.
Matrix.
No one spells it right.
And then, like the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah, for the movie, yeah.
So who judges these things?
Well, you have a mix of people. I mean, sometimes you have straight people on the panel. Sometimes you have really conservative gay men, drag queens, girls. I mean, you just have a mix of people. Generally, people try to have like a mixed panel of different views.
What if you had some advice for someone who was interested in this, wanted to get into it, what would you say to them?
I would definitely say, you know, if you want to do it, then just get out there and do it. Because the first show I was supposed to do, I backed out of. Second show, I almost threw up all over myself.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was so nervous. I was like, oh, my God, I can't do this. And then I got out there, and I was like, hey, I like this. I'm going to keep doing it. But most of all, whatever you decide you want to do, just do it because you love it and just always be yourself. Because
that's cool. That's
you
good
can't
information.
Conform to what everyone else tells you to be and
so
be
is it
successful.
Is it the performance aspect of it that you really fell in love with?
Mm. Yeah, which is weird because in my real life, I'm really like calm and laid back.
Right,
but
yeah.
On stage, I'm like ripping out my intestines or beating my wife with a whip.
Right.
You know, just doing like that kind of stuff, which I live in suburbia. I work a corporate job. My
sure.
real life is very boring.
Like a lot of people.
Yeah.
You got some cool ink and some cool piercings. Tell me about your ink.
This is kind of my right arm is kind of like my memorial arm, and this is my wedding tattoo here.
Oh, all right.
Which is like a key, and my wife has a heart with
that's
a lock
cool.
in it.
That's cool. I like keys.
We got it before we got it done, before we got married. And then my bunnies over here, they have little times, which is one is 10 minutes before 12, one's 10 minutes after 12, because 12 is the death hour. And then there's a syringe, which represents my heart surgery, which gave my dead rabbit an extra 10 minutes.
What?
Yeah, I had heart surgery like 2 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Oh,
wow. Well, I guess I should say congratulations.
Right, yeah.
I guess so. Wow. Interesting.
You mentioned whipping. I can't let that get by because this is the fetish show. Are you into BDSM?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, we do. That's one thing I like about drag is because we've always been very much involved in the community, and we work different events, local events and out-of-state events. And when we go to parties and stuff, we're a little bit more of like voyeur type. I don't really
right.
get involved too much at parties, but I do like the performance art aspect of it. And my wife really likes violence, doesn't so much like pain, where I like inflicting pain on people. So we got a deer flogger because then it sounds like a lot more than it really is.
Ah,
that
is the best of both worlds.
So you both get you both get the effect, I guess.
Yeah. See, so then I can get what I want, and so does she.
Does that carry over into your personal life, or is it more of a performance type thing?
No, I mean, like after hours personal life.
Yeah.
But our regular personal life, we have pretty much a very 50-50
he's
relationship.
He's a wife beater.
Only on stage.
Wow. It's good stuff. So, again, if people want to get in touch with you, where would they go?
The easiest way would probably be Facebook.
Okay.
And it's, I think I put it in there earlier, but it's facebook.com/ Damian Matrix.
That's Damian.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That would be the easiest place.
And we also have a website for the Mr.
Oh, our
USA
Mr. Yeah.
MI.com.
Yeah, it's MrUSAMI.com, and that has a listing of all of our prelims that we have across the United States. And then it gives you dates, times, and if anyone is interested in male illusion, I definitely can help you out with whatever you need.
That's awesome. Well, Damian Matrix, thank you for being on the Fetish Show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Yes, okay. Excited to see you.
I'd like to thank Damian for talking to us today.
Yeah, well, me too. That was a great interview.
It was. That was a kind of a chance encounter that we had with Damian. How did you meet Damian?
Well, I guess the first time we met Damian was at the Buck Angel event. But however, we had a girls' night out at the Habana Inn at the Copa, and I actually ran into Damian, and he was at the bar, and he said something to me, actually, and I was like, hey, what's up, Buttercup? So got to talking.
Yeah.
And I met him and his wife. And I remember I had asked you to come down and bring some cards.
Some flyers and stuff.
Yeah. So, and then we got to talking with them. And so just
right.
rolled from there.
Very cool.
Yeah. Interesting.
That was a good.
Interesting individual.
Yeah. That was a good find.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Interesting to work some more with him, actually.
Yeah. We might be talking about, I don't, think we want to talk about it right now necessarily, but we've got some ideas maybe to do some stuff with Damien. I'm really looking forward to that and kind of excited about it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Fetish Show. I want to get you guys over to Facebook.
All right.
We've got a page. I know. We've got a... Actually, I hate Facebook. Can I say that I hate Facebook?
You can say that.
I fucking hate Facebook.
I know, but we're kind of dependent on it.
But all you fuckers are on Facebook. So, when you're on Facebook, find the Fetish Show page. Because we put all of our information on there, and you can, it's a good place to get in contact with us. Because,
yes, it is.
Like it or not, we're on Facebook too. So, might as well get on over there and see what's happening. If we post a new article or something, I put it out on that Facebook page before I put it out on Twitter or anything else. So you'll have a heads up before anyone.
In the next episode, look for our information on geese and BDSM.
Oh my God! Yes, I mean, you teasing that right now will cause us to, I mean, absolutely explode our website in visitors. I mean, I don't know if we have the bandwidth capable of handling all the fucking geese attention that we're going to get. But that's going to be on our next episode, a geese update.
And baby geese.
For those of you who can't take it anymore, you got to have some geese update. Do you have anything else you want to add there, Princess Zoe?
No, that's it for me. I'm out.
All right. Well, this is Dirk Hooper for Princess Zoe. Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. Until next time, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We are always looking for interviews with kink industry performers or BDSM lifestyle leaders. We review toys, books, and appear at events. If you have fetish news, or if you are an erotic artist or writer, then we may be interested in featuring you. Get in touch with us now at info@thefetishshow.com or visit our website, thefetishshow.com.